Pinocchio's got Jiminy Cricket, Hans got Chewie, and I've got Janet. My conscience, my furry sidekick, my pussy. My name is Jody, and I welcome you to the Conversations with My Pussy podcast. Hey, everybody. I am back with my friend Hannah for part two about deep throating, and this is as a result of a few different things. I immediately had lots of notes and things I wanted to continue talking about, and Hannah did as well, and we both got quite a bit of feedback from listeners, most specifically from men, and it's been really interesting us to hear some of that feedback, so we'd like to start out by just sharing some of that. So thanks for coming back, Hannah. I'm really glad to be here once again.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited for this, the part two. I feel like it's going to be the cherry on top with the whipped cream.
Yes. And I'm already feeling like, okay, there's going to be part three. Because even as I'm going through my notes, I'm like, all right, we can't talk about all this in an hour. So we'll see. After the podcast aired, you mentioned that you shared it with some people. Just tell us a little bit about how that went for you.
Yeah, so I have some friends that are very much into relationship counseling or therapy. And I have this one friend specifically that he's had lots of coaches, very highly successful relationship coaches. And he's like in a men's group because of it and so much great things. So we love to go back and forth about sex, relationships, and intimacy. And so I'm on my journey of becoming a sex, relationship, intimacy coach. And so it's just so fun to just like hear his feedback on what I'm doing. And so I share the podcast with him. And we go back and forth about our own relationships and, you know, just like all the juicy details. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so fun to share it with him. And he actually said that in listening to the podcast, it brought up a lot for him, a lot of emotion. And in some parts, actually listening to the podcast made him cry. It just made him realize like the type of women that he's been attracting are women that do not enjoy giving head, or, you know, they have the vibes of, it is a chore. They have to just do it and get it over with. Mm-hmm. The last girl he was with, it was just a girlfriend. It was like approaching his birthday. And she's like, well, it's going to be your birthday, so I'll give you a blowjob, but let's get it over with. That energy really like hurts him. Like it's like, he doesn't even want to do it. Like they don't even want to receive it, mm-hmm. which I find really interesting as well. And yeah. I just was so grateful that he was willing to like listen to it all the way through because he's a very busy person, but also give me feedback on how it brought up a lot of things for him. And I was just really excited, and I was not expecting mm-hmm. that type of feedback for it to bring up pain or bring up mm-hmm. releasing for him. He's probably not the only one.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful we can have this conversation to, you know, heal those parts of men that haven't received that type of interaction with a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some similar feedback. I heard from a few different people. And ultimately, the overall theme for all of them was that it was really nice to hear that we actually enjoyed it. And clearly, it was obvious we were very honest and enthusiastic about how much we enjoy it. One of my friends was like, I just assumed there's no way she can be enjoying this. Like from his perspective, he was like, there's no way that could be fun for her. So he was glad to hear that. It eased his mind a little bit. I had another friend say they were really just really glad that we were being open and honest in general, just about sexuality and our perspectives and just wanting to be open-minded and generous, giving partners. Kind of like you said, a lot of people aren't experiencing that. And it's nice, I think, for some people to know that that is an option, that is something that they can have. I was expecting more, you can give me a blowjob anytime, or like things like that that are a little more creepy, but I didn't get any of that. I mean, I did get that from one person, but I get that all the time from that person. It's like just our normal banter, but yeah.
It's really funny. I just had breakfast today with a friend, and we've hooked up like a few years ago, but we're just friends. And I was just telling him like, you know, I got to go. I'm going to be recording a podcast later. So, and we're talking about what it's going to be about. And I just end up talking with him about his experience. And it was cracking me up so much because he's like, yeah, I fake orgasm all the time. Sometimes I'm just tired. Like he doesn't even want to receive head if a girl isn't into it. And he's like, no, it's like lick it and get it wet and like just bend over. I also know, like, he really enjoys eating girls out. He really does. Like, he likes it a lot. Like, that's just one of his things. But mm-hmm. it's really interesting that he kind of has some resistance receiving.
Yeah.
But I think picking up on the girls resisting to giving it.
Right.
And so when he feels that, he's like, no, like, let's just skip that subject, you know, like, next. Like, let's just do something else. And one of my, I'm just going to call him a fuck buddy that I was messing around with, I could also tell just in our sexual interaction the other day, I could tell that he also, I think, is more of a giver. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't necessarily want to receive as much. And I'm not sure if that's an insecurity or, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't dig into it or talk to him about it yet. I might later, but I mean, I'll let you know once we do round two, but... But it's just so interesting. You know, we're talking about how much we love to give and how much pleasure it gives us. And, mm-hmm. you know, these friends that I've been chatting with, and just my friend this morning, actually, he was like, your pleasure is my pleasure. And I was like, yeah, totally. Also, my little fuck buddy I was messing around with, I could tell, like, he's the same way. Like, mm-hmm. he just really gets so much more pleasure out of giving mm-hmm. or turning on a woman mm-hmm. versus receiving yeah. it after that.
That's how I am too. And I've had experiences with men who are exactly the same. And sometimes if it's not communicated right, or maybe the motivation is a little off, I guess I don't know quite how to phrase that. It can be exhausting.
Receiving so much, or
constantly trying to, like, give, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you have to have the focus on receiving also, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I've had experiences with people who aren't givers also, but who also are learning to receive as well, it's so much more fun, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've had moments where I can tell, like, they're tired or whatever. And I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to fake anything. Like, you know, I'm tired. We can be done. This has been fun. Like, I've gotten to where the orgasm itself isn't the most important thing.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's a big shift, especially for men to understand, because I don't know, that's just kind of ingrained in us. And also, too, if you're having sex to procreate, yeah, you kind of need that step, right, to have a successful yeah. encounter. But yeah, it's so much more than that. And I think helping people realize that is huge, for sure.
Definitely. And I love that you brought that up, because I think it's a really important topic. Like, I think I've been in the world of sex coaching and stuff since like 2020. And that's back then I went through my own course on how, like as a student mm-hmm. on how to the 8 ways a female can orgasm. And one of the big key factors right away in the beginning is going over that, like, orgasm doesn't have to be the goal. And when it is, that actually takes away from the woman's pleasure. Mm-hmm. It also gives the man, but it's more of like a patriarchal type goal oriented thing.
Right.
And it's also like, if you're using porn as your sex education, that's just kind of all it teaches. Like, do this, do that, come.
Yep.
And like, this is, there's the destination. And, with my last sexual interaction, I had such a great time. It was in many ways like quite healing to receive things I didn't receive in my past relationship. And so it was really interesting that, you know, we were just like texting back and forth for like, next time we're going to hang out. And he was like, you know, I'm so sorry. I got to like redeem myself a lot. And I could tell like he has that like performative mm-hmm. mindset
yeah.
of like, it has to go X, Y, and Z. It has to look this way. And if it doesn't, he didn't do good. And I was like, hell no, mm-hmm. like such a great time.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, I'm wanting more. Like it wasn't, it was just, it was great. And so that kind of like, it just makes me think of like, guys need to know like what girls really do want
right.
from sex. And at least for me, someone that is like multi-orgasmic, I know I'm going to come. I have a pleasure practice. So having the orgasm, yeah, it's great, but that's just the cherry on top. Like it's all about like
yes.
the unfolding, the people back and forth. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Totally. I'm learning as well that that is not the end goal. And even when it comes to my own self-pleasure practice as well, like not focusing on that has been difficult, but it's also been really, really wonderful because it's about the journey, not the destination or whatever, right? There's so much in between that's so pleasurable that we miss out on if we're focused on something else. Like I've learned that I really, really enjoy just making out.
I do too.
Or just like, you know, maybe the first few dates, clothes don't come off. That makes it more exciting. Like,
and it's that tease.
You know, you forget that if orgasm is your end goal. We talked a little bit last time, just touched on it. And when I was editing, this was something I wanted to come back to. The wording that you said was something like, you can have a partner who's kind and generous and all of these things and good in bed. I wanted to clarify what good in bed means to me, because I think that I know that there are men out there that will hear that and go, I need to read those men's magazines. I need to work on my tricks and my skills and all of that, which is great. I mean, there's definitely something to having some tricks and some techniques that you know, have practiced or whatever. However, to me, it's more about the enthusiasm and being genuine.
Yeah.
I'll take enthusiasm over some skill any day of the week. Like some of my most exciting moments have been with men who are completely awkward, but having the time of their life, you know? So I think for me, as someone good in bed is someone who is willing to explore, someone who's open-minded.
Yeah.
They're willing to give and take feedback. And that's something I'm learning too. I actually would like to say, since the last podcast, I had a little booty call that worked out nicely. And he was telling me what he liked. And at one point, I would have been like, don't tell me what to do. I'm good at this. You don't tell me what to do. Like in my head, you know, and that would get in my way of enjoying what I was doing. But I didn't have those thoughts this time. It was nice. It was like, I'm glad he's telling me what he likes. I'm glad he's, you know, giving me direction. Like I need a partner who's willing to do that as well and not take me asking for something to be some kind of an insult, you know, because I've experienced that quite a bit.
That reminds me actually some of the feedback I got from my friend that listened to the podcast. We were just going back and forth comparing like, you know, what is the difference between someone that is so enthusiastic or so giving about it versus, you know, someone that is kind of like a tit for tat or it's a chore or, you know, and what is good sex versus bad sex. I've done so much work on like energy work and expanding my consciousness and things like that, that like, this isn't even a thought to me anymore. But I'm so thankful that he brought it up because I think it's huge in the bedroom. I think just in relationships in general, but especially with depth of intimacy is judgment. And that's judgment, first of all, of like, I'm speaking for women, but also men too. But, you know, women judge their bodies, judge how they sound, judge what they're doing. They have to, you know, do this XYZ like routine for it to end up being good or something. Then they have like the judgments of like, oh my God, what are their friends going to think? Or what does society think? You know, and then all the judgment someone has about that other person's body or what that other person's doing. And I was just like, wow, I genuinely don't really function in that world anymore. Since I have done so much work on my own judgments like years ago. And so I really do think that judgment of yourself and of others is a huge key in just having good sex and just allowing yourself to just unfold and enjoy the journey of what happens. And, you know, if there is something goofy, just like laugh about it or, you know, not take things serious and not trying to like judge yourself into this box of what you think sex should be and sex should look like.
Yeah, totally. One of the things I think I keep coming back to and thought about quite a bit through just re-listening to that episode as I was editing is that ultimately there are a lot of people, and I've met a lot of men, and I'm sure there are a lot of women out there as well, who want to rock your socks and maybe just don't know how or are timid to because they've been shamed or they've been told by a partner that what they want or desire or they're into is gross or whatever. There are partners out there who are into what you're into and who will be extremely enthusiastic about providing that pleasure for you. Those people are out there. And I'm finding that that's the most common thing, at least in my experience. And I've had quite a bit, I'll be honest, since my divorce. I've experienced lots of variety when it comes to partners. Let's just say that. And then there's also, too, some people who have just some maybe small things to work through. until they could get to that point. Yeah. That's where I think that open communication and being genuine about what you're wanting and what you're into is going to be so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to help each other heal by doing that. And then there's also a handful of people who are just douchebags and bitches, and move on from them. And that's not your partner. That's not a person for you.
Yeah, I definitely relate to everything you said. And I really do think it comes back to like judgment. I feel like women are so for themselves. And
yeah,
when I think back to when I was like working through this part of me and this part of my sex journey, the more I would welcome different parts of me and not judge my expression, not judge my sound, not judge how I'm moving, and I just allowed myself to flow, mm-hmm. the better sex got. And it had everything to do with me just accepting more of myself.
Yeah.
And around that time, I had a sex partner. We were just fuck buddies, nothing more. And what was interesting is I saw myself deepening and I saw myself growing and getting more comfortable. And as I would, mm-hmm. he would want me to suppress my voice. And I was like, no. And sometimes I did. It was kind of like a party scene, or like he had friends around, and I don't know if he just didn't want his friends to hear what he was doing or whatever, but who cares? In my opinion, who cares? And so the times that I actually did suppress my voice, or I was gonna orgasm or about to orgasm and I was quiet, it like completely suppressed the amount of pleasure. And I was like, this is bogus. Like, no, I'm not gonna be quiet.
Oh yeah.
This is stupid. Like, why am I gonna like, just because you're insecure with my voice, next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After that, the partner I had after that was like the complete opposite and was like louder. Like, don't settle for less if you're suppressing something of your expression.
Right. And then the flip side of that, like if you're into being really quiet because it's sneaky and because it's naughty to be in the closet or whatever, yeah. Go for it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That I'm kind of more on that end, but I also too, like when I'm at home or I'm in a hotel room or whatever, and I know the walls are thick enough, I don't want to hold back on that stuff.
Especially in that interaction, when he was telling me to be quiet, I was like, then cover my mouth, choke me then. I was like, you're not thinking about it. But he was like, wasn't into it.
That's funny. So on the note of what women want, I think, again, everybody's a little different. I've had people who just assume I'm going to like whatever their ex-wife liked or what have you, and we are all different. If nothing else, you know, I want to make sure people understand that honest, genuine communication and asking for what you want is how you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And finding partners who are not just willing to, but enthusiastically want to do those things, that's where the magic really happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because I went through a breakup, which I didn't really have anything to complain about my sex life at all. And we broke up in a very beautiful way. And then, you know, having a new sex partner, like, you know, somewhat recently, I'm really surprised at like things I didn't realize I was missing mm-hmm. that I really want and need. And that person was able to deliver on, which, you know, I haven't even told him about this, which I will next time I see him. But like the things that really mattered to me during that sexual interaction is like, he was not in a rush, I could tell. And, you know, in the previous relationship, it did seem like it was kind of getting routine. And I could tell my ex-boyfriend kind of had the orgasm goal mindset. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a rush to get there mm-hmm. instead of just enjoying the journey. And so because of that, there were other things lacking of just like the, like holding someone so close and just enjoying that mm-hmm. or like caressing each other's bodies and just enjoying that, taking your time. And like one thing that this last partner was doing is just like his closeness. And like he would take his time with me, with making out, with caressing, with eating me out, or, you know, we would just be taking our, we were just playing around. Mm-hmm. Like there, that goal wasn't really there. And so like that mattered so much more to me. Like in that type of interaction, I felt so much more seen. I literally felt held, which is so interesting in sex. Like someone can be holding you, but you don't feel held.
Oh, totally.
Or
yeah, yeah.
I don't feel seen.
Right.
And it was so interesting that I did feel held. I did feel seen. I felt like it was not mm-hmm. much. There was just such a deep playfulness, but a deep connection. It was just like we were very present with each other. And I think like because there wasn't necessarily that like, oh my God, I need to come, like hurry up, I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And like that to me was so much more important than any position or performance performance or, you know, there that really matters to me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Big picture, that's absolutely what I enjoy and would like more of. Like I mentioned in the last one, I haven't been terribly active as far as dating or whatever. However, I did make a booty call last weekend. I was in a hotel room for work and it was like midnight. I was ready for bed. I had just showered and shaved and was just laying there feeling kind of sexy. And I was like, oh, this guy only lives a few minutes from here. I'm gonna text him and see what's going on. I hadn't talked to him in a while. We'd hooked up in the past and it was fun and just hadn't reconnected, you know, busy lives and what have you. And he happened to just be leaving a friend's house, headed home, and he stopped by on his way home. And it was like in and out real quick, but which was exactly what I was looking for because it was midnight and I had to get up early and it worked out nicely. So like to me, there's definitely a time and a place for other things as well, as long as everybody's on the same page.
For sure. Quickies are so fun as well.
Yes. So I do stand up. And the next night, Saturday night, I was in a show. The main part of my set was comparing sex to pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. I sent him the link and I said, last night was totally Pizza Hut pan pizza. It's thick, hot, and in my mouth in 20 minutes or less. Guaranteed. And so that's exactly what it was. It was like I placed my order and it was at my door in about 20 minutes. So,
oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, it was fun. So one of the things that came to mind again when I was editing was it's frustrating to me when men are too big. I have a former friend with benefits who is bigger and I haven't been able to get it all the way down. And I was always like, I'm going to do it. I got this and never could quite get it all the way down. But then there have been some where it's like, this isn't happening at all. And that's really frustrating for me because I enjoy it a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's funny because I'm thinking on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, there's that too.
Where like a boyfriend I had, I won't say what number, so I don't give him away, but I could fit all of it in my mouth. And it didn't like necessarily, like it wasn't a challenge.
Right.
For me to like, and I don't really think it went all the way down my throat. Like it just could fit all in my mouth. And that was fine. Like I'm not saying sex is bad with him. He definitely pleased me. So in that aspect, size doesn't really matter, but it wasn't really a challenge. And I was like, damn it. Like I want to like open the throat a little bit. Which is funny.
Yeah.
My last boyfriend, like, whoa, he would get down my throat, that's for sure. But I'm just curious. With guys that are too big, what if you flipped the angle? Do you think that would let you go down more?
I have angles. I know all about the angles, but it was just, it was like shockingly large.
I love that. Was it too thick or long or both?
Both.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I mean, I don't know. It might be something I would try again, like if stars aligned, but
yeah.
No, so positions, I thought about this too, and it's on my notes. You had mentioned like 69 being a great position. Have you ever done the lie back thing where you're on like a high bed and you like hang your head off the edge of the bed?
Yeah.
And they're standing?
And like,
that's the best one.
That's the best one for you?
Yes. It takes a little trust because they're totally have a power position there and can really, really
face fuck you.
Yes. Which I'm totally down for that, but I need to have some sense of control. I need to be able to get away and breathe. And, you know, if necessary, obviously once in a while we need to breathe, but for some reason that one is really enjoyable to me. And it's really fun for me if they've never done that before, but also too, curve.
Mm-hmm.
Curve goes into play. My friend from Friday night had a curve. So I'm like, I need to get on the other side. Let me flip. I need to go over here.
I think that's why, at least with my last boyfriend, I think that's why 69 worked well for me to at least like train my throat because his kind of curved up.
Yeah.
And for me being upside down, it like curved right down my throat.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going away from that, it's going to hit the roof of your mouth versus... Yeah.
Right.
And so, so kind of on your topic of like, you know, men who are maybe on the smaller side or whatever, there's definitely a range for me that's really fun. So like,
yeah. And it's a wide range.
It's a very wide range. So you guys who are average to smaller, don't feel sad right now because it's fun. For me, it's more, if it's smaller, I can go longer. You know, I have a lot more stamina. Yeah. And I had, you know, there's other tricks I can do, you know, that maybe are
like more like playful. Maybe there's more like tongue play versus throat play.
But I also know like how to do it so they think it's going down my throat. It makes them feel good.
But also with the smaller wieners, it's like also like suck more.
Yeah. Wieners. That's funny. Wieners.
So there was the first guy I ever gave a blowjob to. He's very well endowed. And maybe I should share this podcast with him now.
Is this your eighth grade friend?
Okay. Yeah, that's my eighth grade. And we're still friends to this day. And I'm just like, wow, I picked a good one. And so I remember I would line my hands up and I like lined my hands up with how big his dick was. And I was able to do four hands.
No way.
And then the head.
Oh my gosh.
That's
insane.
It was so great. And so I had like, I didn't know how to deep throat back then. I didn't like open that up yet, but I'm curious. I mean, when I was giving a blowjob, like I was able to like use my hands so much. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious now. I mean,
I think about that sometimes too. Like the first boyfriend I had where I did that, like, I had no idea what I was doing. And he didn't really either. I don't think he experienced it before. And it was all fun, but I'm like, I knew at the time I didn't know what I was doing, and I eventually learned. But I did have a boyfriend, one of my high school boyfriends, I had a few, was really large, at least in my memory. I don't say I want to see it again, but like if there was an opportunity, I'd definitely check it out again to see if like...
Yeah, let's fuck around and find out.
Is it like a big fish story in my mind? Does it just keep getting bigger and bigger as I, you know, as time goes on or what? Maybe it was just the largest one I'd experienced at that time.
Yeah.
And then after that, I definitely had a micro penis. Ooh. It was like my index finger.
So as you bring up index finger, and for micro penis men out there, this came up yesterday. I was at work. And have you ever just been around men, like you're not even attracted to, nothing like that, but just maybe sex is on the mind. And you just look down at their fingers and you are like,
yes.
Whoa, those look nice.
Oh my goodness.
And sometimes I love being fingered so much, especially by a man, because like I'm small, I have small hands. My fingers are not that thick and not that long. Mm-hmm. And for a man, with fucking sausage links and like they're a lot deeper than my own. And with fingers, you have so much more control. Yeah. Like I know guys can flex their dick, but they cannot flex their dick as hard as they can their fingers. And I'm just like,
oh yes, exactly.
Sometimes I will just be around people and just checking out their fingers, just be like, what is it?
Yeah, I do the exact same thing. And now I'm like, oh no, all of the guys I know that listen to this are going to be like, she looking at my hands. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Like, also, it's one of like the hottest things to take his fingers and shove them down my throat and then shove them down my pants.
That's awesome. In addition to size, I have to say, or maybe even more important than size is like how hard it gets. I really enjoy when it's like really, really, really hard.
I completely concur.
And I'm 48. And so the men in my dating pool are, some of them, not so hard anymore. You know, big picture. Moving forward, I guess I don't need somebody who's rock hard all the time. But I at least need someone who's supportive in me getting that need met, whether they take a pill or, you know.
So I'm a breathwork facilitator. Mm-hmm. And I've been really curious. I want like some guinea pigs to work on, because doing breath work or the deep journeys that I do, it's very similar to holotropic breath work. And what ends up happening is you're like recharging your nervous system. You are your blood pumping. You are getting a lot of blockages through your body and like getting them out. And so I'm curious what breath work would do with like clearing up that, what would you call it? Flaccidness.
Mm-hmm.
If it would break some blockages and barriers, because breath work, it's very common
to
reignite your sexual energy, you know, for people to even have energetic orgasms and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out.
Totally. I do know there are lots of reasons behind that. Mm-hmm. Some of them are medical or physical or whatever. However, the more and more I learn,
a lot of it's mental and emotional.
So much of the physical stuff we experience is mental or emotional. Yeah. I got rid of chronic shoulder pain by meditating. I was doing yoga as well, but like I go to like easy old lady yoga, no sweating, like once a week. I know more of this healing is coming from the meditating.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is to me at this point in my life, somebody who's like rock hard all the time kind of feels exhausting to even just think about. So I welcome like variety. And I know that I can just lay there and breathe and have orgasms, which is exciting because someday, you know, bodies are going to fail, you know. I don't need youth. I don't need a partner even to feel those things. So
that's really interesting that you're bringing that up because more recently, specifically when I'm driving and in the car, I have been feeling like super juiced up and just like, woo! And so I was just exploring my own voice, just like allowing myself to sound.
Yeah.
I'd be like driving and getting myself amped up and I'm like moaning and moaning. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I about to come on driving just from my breath? Like I'm not even touching myself or anything. And it's just like something I've been playing with. I know that having, you know, energetic orgasms is possible just specifically off your breath. Like,
yeah,
I've done a lot of breath work, especially to become a facilitator. And that hasn't been my experience with breath work sessions. I've been like just clearing a lot of stuck energy and a lot of like past traumas holding onto and stuff like that. But like, I really do think I'm getting to the point where like, if anyone's in a breath work session with me and I'm like a participant instead of a facilitator, I might be having an orgasm right next to you.
I had an orgasm at yoga. Did I tell you this?
No.
It's been a while ago. And the yoga teacher is my friend and she actually listens to the podcast. So she'll eventually hear this. And I keep forgetting to tell her. But like at the end of yoga, we do Shavasana, which is corpse pose. I don't know. We lay there for 5 to 7 minutes, something like that. And I dozed off a little bit. And sometimes in my sleep, I have orgasms. And so I startled myself awake and it was an orgasm. It was a little one, but it was nice. And so as we were packing up, I was like, did I make any weird noises? Did I say anything strange? Like I noticed I dozed off a little bit. And she was like, well, I could tell you startled yourself awake, but that was it. And there were other people around. Otherwise, I would have said, well, yeah, actually, I had an orgasm.
That's so fun.
So this is something I just remembered that I haven't visited in a while, but I used to love giving blowjobs in the car wash.
Specifically the car wash. That's interesting.
Yes. Because it's a little more private and it's like a race against the clock, you know?
And so it was your goal to have him come before the car wash was over?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm cheap. I want the just basic $6 wash and not paying extra for
foam
sealant or dryer or anything. Like, yeah. Because sometimes, like, as a single mom, I got to find places to, you know, get my needs met.
Yeah.
And I've had my own orgasms in the car wash, too. Like, I got 5 minutes. Like, what else am I going to do, you know?
Oh, my God. You are reminding me. So, one thing to know about women and, like, vibrators and stuff is, like, vibrators can desensitize you. So,
yeah.
I used to have a womanizer, and that's, like, a suction type sex toy. And this was 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. And anyway, so I had that sex toy in the car in my in the center console. And at the time, my drive to work was an hour. And I would sometimes just get bored, get it out. Mm-hmm. And what was so funny is like, I would be like on the edge of coming so many times and I wouldn't be able to until I got to a stoplight. Like I had to have my foot on the brake and then slowly just like let go. And like the people next to me, I just can't imagine just... You know, if they looked over and just watched this girl having an orgasm while driving.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like to sing in the car. And lately I have been, you know, practicing my stand-up stuff while I'm driving. And I'm just in my own little world. So anybody at a red light's going to look over and be like, who the hell is she talking to? Or like, I'm performing, you know, like singing along to Madonna songs or Beyonce or something. Oh, I was going to – the song Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye came up because I think I used the word sexual healing in that episode. And I went ahead and Googled it because I was curious. And it turns out – do you know the song?
Oh, yeah. Sexual
healing. Yes. He was – his dad was a pastor, like very like strict Christian household. And
I'm already into the story.
Yeah. I'm missing pieces of the story, but he wrote the song in like 30 minutes after talking to someone, asking him why he had so much pornography, like at his home. And he was basically like, because I need sexual healing, you know?
Well, you know, when you brought that up, and I mean, being a dancer, I've danced to that song so many fucking times in the club, but But, you know, our sexual energy, our creative energy, our life force energy, that is all in one the same, you know? And so mm-hmm. we're suppressing it. Like, we need it to be liberated in order to heal. And orgasmic energy is like one of the highest frequencies on the planet.
Yeah.
But in going through a breakup and then having a sexual interaction like crazy soon after, maybe like 3 weeks after the breakup, I didn't realize in my past relationship that there were things missing in my sex life because mm-hmm. things were pretty good. And just that I didn't even have to ask for it. I didn't know I was looking for it. It just came to me. And that last experience, it genuinely was so healing. And it wasn't like a rebound or anything. I feel like I got my cup filled with what I wasn't receiving in that relationship of like a year and a half.
Yeah.
That is so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
And I feel so much more creative already.
Uh-huh. Me too. Just my little like 20-minute pizza delivery this weekend was like inspiring. Like, okay, I need some more of that. That was great.
So I sent you the video of the grapefruit job. Did you get to watch it?
Yes. No, because it wouldn't load and then I kept forgetting to do it, but I will check it out.
Yeah. So I found that video, like I was maybe 18, 19, something like that. Just like very young. No, it was definitely when I was still a Jehovah's Witness. I was a teenager. Mm. And so anyways, in this video, what this girl's doing is she cuts the top and the bottom of the grapefruit off. Mm-hmm. And then you cut around in the middle of the grapefruit, like the size of a guy's penis. And so pretty much this grapefruit ends up being like a sleeve and you give a blowjob with the grapefruit. And so it's supposed to mimic the feeling of the inside of a vagina. And so I've known about this and it's kind of been like a little thing I wanted to try for years. I've literally known about it since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, I finally tried it with my ex-boyfriend. And what's so interesting, I just like really, really appreciate that, like, you know, we're both open-minded. We're both like willing to explore, but it was so funny. Something I thought I'd be into. I like gave it a try and I was like, yeah, I like the taste, but like, this is fucking boring. Let me just deep throat you. Like, let's just go back to basics. Mm-hmm. So funny. Like one, it was just fun to explore and just try to something new. And we both like weren't really into it.
Mm-hmm. And I would just think some of the citric acid could be painful if like maybe they nick themselves shaving or something. Like that's where my mind went.
Probably. But like, I mean, none of that was experienced. What actually ended up happening that was not so fun. So I could see the pulp of it being really nice feeling, but the little membranes or like the little skins that divide each pulp, they're very thick mm-hmm. on a grapefruit. I think it actually might be better with an orange because it's just like thinner,
softer maybe
membrane. But because I'm like squeezing it, it's breaking the pulp. And so the pulp starts getting smaller and smaller, but the membranes get longer and longer. So after a while, it was like creating a lot more friction, like unpleasurable friction that like he could just feel the membrane. And I was like, this isn't really working. Like, it was just like really funny.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That brought to mind like a couple of things that I have technique type things I've enjoyed and partners have enjoyed. And I like to play with temperature. You know, I usually have water nearby. It's necessary. If it's really, really icy, I like to hold it in my mouth for a little while and then like surprise them with some cold. And then on the flip side of that, hot tea. Get your mouth really, really warm. Mm-hmm. Whole different world. So
thanks for that reminder. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like such a tea person. And I almost like discovered that on accident because like I'm just, especially in the winter, I'm always drinking tea. Mm-hmm. And I was just getting like, you know, my boyfriend and I were like messing around and I just like needed a drink real quick. And I sipped my tea and then went back to giving him blowjob. And he's like, whoa, that's warm. And I was like, oh, I didn't even mean to do that on purpose. Mm-hmm. But that's fun.
Yeah.
And then I had him do it to me. I had him drink tea and then like go down on me. And I was like, oh, I see what you mean. Like, that is so fun.
That's funny. Yeah. I like that you brought up, though, that the grapefruit thing. I think it is fun to experiment and try techniques. If it's something that works well enough for somebody to like put it in a magazine or make a little video about it online or whatever, you know, it can be worth checking out. But ultimately, yeah, like it's not for everybody. I don't personally like flavored things. So you mentioned, you know, it tastes good. And I remember being at a party. Oh, I don't remember the company name, but like a home party where it's like sex toys and stuff and lubes and different things. And the woman demonstrating was about to show this strawberry lube or whatever. And she was like, who likes the taste of a penis? And I raised my hand and everybody looked at me like, you're weird.
Love it. I'm in the same boat as you.
The sales pitch was, now it'll taste like strawberries, you know, like it'll make it more pleasant. And I'm just like, I'd rather taste a penis than this fake strawberry stuff.
So I used to sell sex toys like right around the time I started dancing. Mm-hmm. And quickly I was like, no, I'm just going to strip and make way more money than selling sex toys, but mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. And they had flavored lubes. And
I wonder if it's the same company, maybe.
It might be. I'm trying to think what it was called too. Like it's like 5 years ago. I enjoyed it. Like it was just like fun to like mix things up. But like after a while, like I just want, like I want it almost like a sucker. Like I only want a sucker for a little bit and then I want it to like go away. I don't want the sucker to be like my whole night and experience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I am a very like just like natural type person. And
yeah,
you know, even exploring sex toys, like I'm so much more into like glass mm-hmm. toys now. Instead of like vibrators or the silicone, like literally a month ago, I'm going through my little drawer and I had two dildos and they were silicone and they ended up like, I just like moved. And so they're kind of packed away and they were touching each other and they literally ended up melting into each other. I had like two cocks that were stuck together. It was hilarious. I should have took a picture.
That's funny.
Because these silicone dildos just, anyways, I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm doing glass now.
Yes. The glass has been surprising for me too. Like,
I love it.
You can play with temperature with it.
Mm-hmm. And like the hardness is amazing. And I'm like so a butt plug person as well. But really what I'm like going into with this is I love using coconut oil or even olive oil.
Yeah.
If coconut oil is not an option, it is so much better than lube. Cause like, I have quite a few different kinds of lube. Like I love going to like Lover's Lane or, you know, just like, I feel like a kid in a candy shop when I go to a sex toy shop anyways. And so I just like wanted to try different flavors. Cause like, why not? And, the lubes just end up like just kind of getting like tacky or sticky or even the water-based ones and stuff. Like it's not the same as coconut oil. Like I love using coconut oil because like there's not too much flavor, but it does have like a beautiful scent to it.
Mm-hmm. And it's antimicrobial too, which I use it at times when I just need to balance things out. Like it's just a gentle like moisturizer even. But yes, I agree. I like it for that as well.
I genuinely enjoy like, especially if, I mean, I normally date people that are similar to me. So like, you know, we kind of eat well, take good care of our bodies, things like that. And like, so if you do, like, I love the natural taste of a guy's dick. Like, even if he's been sweaty all day, my ex-boyfriend and I would like go to the gym and I give him a blowjob right after. Like, it was not a problem to me. Like, I loved his natural scent, his natural like musk. And I love when guys get like sweaty and what other people like see like gross. I think it's so fucking hot. Like sweat all over me. Like you're just working hard. I love it.
Yeah.
Like I think coconut oil, like it doesn't necessarily like take away their like natural flavor.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I don't have a sense of smell. I never have. So I miss out on some of that stuff. But at the same time too, like have they been sweaty and like dried up or whatever? I wouldn't know unless they told me. So I do want to mention Ikigai.
Yeah. So Ikigai is like, I think it's a Japanese philosophy of your purpose and how to find your purpose and like your purpose in life. Like when I heard about Ikigai, I kind of had like my purpose already known. I already had like a Kundalini awakening and all like this crazy stuff. So I was like pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And so my little sister was the one to introduce it to me. And we even like did the chart where you like even do like the circles of all, is it five different categories?
It's four. It's like that Venn diagram.
Yeah, there we go. And so I'll let you take over with the different things.
So imagine a Venn diagram with four circles that all intersect in the middle. The four things are something that you love, something that you're good at, something that the world needs, and something which you can be paid for. And when all four of those things come together, it's Ikigai. And then where two of them overlap, there's other things like a vocation or a profession or a mission or a passion, but Ikigai combines them all. And I remember I actually got this from someone who sent it to me saying, too bad you can't get paid to give blowjobs because all the other three are covered. I love it. The world needs it. And I'm good at it. So now I just have to figure out how to get paid to do it.
I think you can get paid to teach it.
You can get paid to teach it, absolutely. And that's kind of where I'm at. And then shortly after that, I actually found out somewhere else, maybe Amsterdam or something where people are more open-minded. Sex work is legal. There's like a coffee shop. Like you order coffee and a blowjob.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And I'm like, I could go work there for a little while. That'd be fun. Like, I'll try that for a year or two.
Hey, let me know if you do. I'm going to have you on my podcast.
Yeah. No, I don't foresee that happening, but definitely since learning about this, it has shifted. And like you, realizing that my Ikigai is helping people heal, helping people with, sexual healing.
Same.
Yeah.
And at least for me, my realization was like, I was for the longest time, like probably like 10 years, I was just like doing all this inner work, energy work, emotional intelligence stuff, you know, healing my sexuality and all that just for me, just for fun, just because like, that's the only way I learned how to cope with my emotions. I didn't have any like negative or bad vices just because I learned how to release my emotions very young as a teenager. And so
that's great.
As I was doing like the Ikigai, it was like, it was plain as fucking day. Like my job in this world is to teach people their emotional intelligence and how to come. Like, let's go. Get comfortable with your body and let's have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like if people could keep this in mind when choosing their path or changing their path, we would be a lot happier. The world, I think, would naturally have everything it needs. Somebody's Ikigai is going to be driving a big truck. Somebody's Ikigai is going to be making music. Somebody's is going to be, you know, restoring things, whatever, inventing. All of the things I think would be covered.
I notice I have like three. Mm-hmm. One is movement, dancing, but specifically like sensual movement or rock, you know, from being a stripper. So there's that one. Then it's the emotional intelligence and releasing, like breathwork stuff. And healing, and then cooking. Those are the three for me.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Actually, nutritious food, you know, that's what I'm into.
I'm into it also. I'm just feeling very overwhelmed with having to find the time to do it. So it's frustrating for me, but when I do it and I take the time to do it, yeah, it feels really good. And I know it's all connected. Like the healthier my body is, my physical body, the more pleasure I have. And some of that might be because maybe my body looks better.
You have some more energy.
I have more energy. And I have just the fact that my body feels better, the energy in my body is better. Therefore, it elevates, everything elevates then, you know?
Exactly. And like, sometimes I just feel like I'm just like a little bouncing, happy bunny rabbit.
That's great.
And it has a lot to do with the things I eat. So
yes, the things we put in our mouth.
And in our mind.
And our throat. Oh, all right. Well, I think that's all I've got. Any other thoughts before we go?
I feel so good and so complete at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. This has been a pleasure again. And I hopefully will get this edited really quickly and out there because I know we've got lots of people waiting to hear it. So
yay. Thanks so much for having me.
Talk again soon. Bye.